Okay, I'm sorry for that. Somebody's trying to call me. Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, March 16th, 2020, and we are reading from the Big Book on page 97, the second full paragraph. Today's readers are Lorraine N. on the 12 steps, Sandy D. reading the 12 traditions, and reading the text are Leslie M., Kathleen O., and Dawn B. Our share ID for yesterday, Sunday, March 15th, special edition, is 14,258, or 14258. And for this morning, 7 a.m., Vision for You meeting, the number is 14,259, or 14259. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Lorraine N. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. This is Lorraine N., food addict in Oregon. Here are the steps we took which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service. God bless.
Thank you, Lorraine. And Sandy D., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA?
Good morning. This is Sandy D., recovered in Illinois. By God's grace and mercy, one day at a time. 12 traditions. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me do service.
Thank you, Sandy D. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the direction for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book means to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 97, the second full paragraph, and I will ask Leslie M. to get us started.
Good morning, Kathy K. Thank you for your service. My name is Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. We seldom allow an alcoholic to live in our homes for long at a time. It is not good for him, and it sometimes creates serious complications in a family. I haven't experienced this exact thing myself, but when I read this, what it makes me think, what it encourages me to think about, is that when I was in the food, I was just so selfish, you know. I didn't even see it then, you know. I can look back and see it now, and I know that, you know, I have to consider others. You know, I have to be helpful. I want to be useful, but I can't do for someone else what they need to do for themselves. And also, you know, I would never have considered anyone else if I were going to invite someone to come stay with me for a while. I wouldn't have considered the other people that would be affected. You know, I didn't have any far-ranging sight. You know, it was just, okay, I want to do this. All right, I'm just going to do it. You know, I didn't even look how it would affect the person that I thought I was helping. Because for the most part, you know, I wanted to do for them the things that they needed to do for themselves. And I wanted that because I wanted the alkaloids. I wanted the, oh, you're a great person, Leslie. Oh, yes, thank you so much. You know, and now I really take this useful and helpful part of it to a different place. You know, as long as, you know, and I know for me, the biggest word in the 12th step is I try to carry the message. As long as I have tried to carry the message, then I've done my part. And I have to remember that and keep that in you know, that the person, the protege, the prospect that I'm working with, that they also have a part. And in most cases, their part is much bigger than mine. I certainly know with my recovery that I had to want this and I had to be willing to do this work. If I, you know, prior, I had been willing to not do the work. I thought about the work. I talked about the work, but I never did it. And recently, you know, within the last several years, I've done it and my life has changed forever. But I also have to remember that that's the only way that anyone, myself or anyone else, is going to get this recovery, is through doing the work themselves. So it says, you know, I have to take into account whether it's going to be good for the person and what, how it's going to affect the others in my life. Because, you know, I don't live on this planet alone. You know, we're all in this together. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Leslie. Okay, I'm open to take names of people who would like to share.
I'm sorry, where do we read this morning?
Page 97, the second full paragraph.
Thank you.
This is Heather W. Could I share?
Yes, thank you, Heather W. Who else would like to share?
Sunny S.
Sunny S.
Rachel P.
Rachel P.
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Robin P.
Robin P. and Barbara E. Great. That's our first lineup for today. Heather W., Sunny S., Rachel P., Deborah G., Robin P. and Barbara E. Please share with us, Heather W.
Hi, good morning, everyone. This is Heather W., recovered compulsive eater in Baltimore. I'm so happy to be on the line. I, like, never get to share, but I always listen, and I attended the conference, and I'm off work right now, so I'm able to. And, yeah, this line, this paragraph really speaks to me. I mean, it's short, but it says a lot. And I've never been in the position where someone is going to come live in my house. But I have been in the position, you know, with sponsors or other members in the program where I can enable them, you know. And this just tells me that it's important we don't do that. I heard someone on this line say before, you know, God isn't an enabler. And I know I can't be an enabler in other addicts' lives. It's not good for them, like it says in this paragraph. So, you know, that means I can't let someone call me and just talk about their problems for hours. You know, I can't be a therapist or a psychologist to someone. That's not what I am. I can merely sponsor and guide them through the steps in this book as I was guided, but that's it. Otherwise, it's not good for them. You know, I have to be willing to put those boundaries up, or it can cause serious complications for someone. And as was shared, you know, sometimes it's easier to let someone just talk about their problems, or to let a sponsee, you know, not be absent and continue to sponsor and work with them. And this whole chapter really just tells me, you know, I have to be able to put those boundaries up, because if I don't, it's not helpful for them and it's not helpful to me. So, yeah, this was awesome. I'm so excited that I got to share on the line. Thank you all.
Thanks very much, Heather W. Sunny S., please share with us. Press star 1 to unmute. Sunny?
Hi, this is Sunny S. from Colorado. Thanks for letting me share.
Sure.
I appreciated the share so far. I actually very much relate to, you know, like, what comes for me is the whole idea of boundaries and limitations as well. And for me, I had to learn through recovery how to connect with feelings. And it's interesting because, I think a lot of us may relate to like being happy or being angry, but that was it. And so by defining different feelings that I had, there was things like uncomfortable or things like overwhelmed or just things that indicated, you know, from my body that I wasn't comfortable with what was happening with the situation. And oftentimes it was relating to a person. And my responsibility is to, in reality, is to stay in serenity and to work my recovery. And it does involve standing up for myself. It does involve, you know, staying in touch with those feelings and communicating them. And what's interesting about this for me is that I always thought it was something about the mind. Like, I have to set a boundary. This is what, you know, sounds like a good idea. So therefore I'm going to do it. And now it's a little bit different. It's like, I may think something, but if my body is not fully with it, you know, say that I feel like my stomach is a mess or pressure in my chest and something's up, then I'm not communicating something I should be communicating, or, you know, removing myself from a situation or expressing a need. And that's hard. I mean, boundaries are painful, at least for me. I feel shame. I feel guilt for standing up for myself. And when I receive a boundary, I tend to take it personally. I think that's a very common thing for an addict. It's like, this is not about them. This is about me. And so having to flip that sometimes with a 10th step, you know, of realizing this is what they're doing to take care of themselves, just like I do that too, to take care of myself or my recovery. And with that, I pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Sunny S. Rachel P., please share with us.
Good morning, my fellows. This is Rachel P., recovered compulsive overeater in Denver, Colorado. Boundaries is also the word that came to mind when I read this paragraph, and I immediately thought about my brother who, several years ago was kind of in and out of jail and selling drugs and doing drugs and would ask if he could crash on my couch multiple times. And the first few times I said yes, and then I started to have to say no. And I realized, like, I can't sacrifice my own sanity for somebody else, you know, regardless of whether they're family or a sponsee or somebody I love in program, if it means that I'm not enabling their recovery. And that's so true with working with others, is I've got to make sure that I have my boundaries. And that's something that, you know, is certainly addressed in other programs as well. But in terms of this program, I learned in doing the steps how to have love and respect for myself. You know, it's kind of interesting, like, that we learn I learned the destruction of the ego, especially in doing steps 4 through 9 and then 10 on a regular basis. But in doing so, I learned how to, you know, have that connection with my higher power and have that compassion and love for myself. And when I'm able to have that love for myself, I know intuitively, and I can turn it over to my higher power, and I can hear that intuition, and I can understand what I need and don't need in relationships and what I can and can't take on when it comes to relationships with people in recovery and otherwise. And I love that recovery can kind of be a vacuum in which I can practice healthy relationships to then, you know, have that reverberate out into my relationships outside of recovery. And I'm just really grateful for this program. So thanks, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Rachel P. Deborah G., please share with us.
Oh, hello, everyone. Thank you all so much for your service and making this meeting possible. I love having phone meetings available right now. And I'm Deborah. I'm a compulsive overeater. And thank you all that have shared to remind me, to keep reminding me that this is all about that power in step two. You know, I've never had to have someone in my home or have someone affected that was in my home because of the person or, you know, it's effective of how I am also with others because of how I am working with someone. You know, and remembering that all I have is my experience, strength, and hope and what I have done. And also remembering that everyone is in a different place in their recovery. And if I can just continue to remember to bring God into every experience that I have with someone and asking what God's will is for me, what would you have me do? What would you have me say? How would you have me be? Use me, use me. And then go ahead and work with that person in saying or doing what I am to do. I think I have a better chance of helping that person because it's more of a spiritual connection than what I feel in, you know, as a head kind of connection. And then let it go. Let the outcome go. And know that that was the way it was supposed to be. So I think I want to continue to be reminded, though, of that because I can forget so easily. And my ego can get in there, and that's when I have problems. So, but I do know that, you know, it's all about God being the source. And thank you so, so much, everyone. Have a beautiful day. Peace and blessings.
Thank you so much, Deborah G. Robin P., please share with us.
Hi, thanks so much, Kathy. This is Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida, and so grateful for the meeting. Wow. It's currently feeling, you know, that isolation. And that's the beginning of the disease. So I've had a lot of things canceled, just like most people. And so, you know, I'm just really super grateful for the meeting today. Oof. Just a lot. I feel very discombobulated right now. So it's so important to me that I just stay really close to the program. I really appreciated this paragraph, too. You know, I haven't taken someone into my house in this way, but I have, you know, given service to people who needed it. And my experience is like what everybody else shared, you know, or what other people have shared. You know, sometimes it's been enabling for me. Even when I've worked with a sponsee who just wasn't ready and I wanted it more for her than she wanted for herself at that time. And, you know, I think it's so important when people ask me to sponsor them, I say what my sponsor said, you know, to me, are you ready to go to any lengths? Are you willing to go to any lengths to recover? And, you know, I said yes. And I've had some people say, you know, I'm not so sure I am. And then they come back and say, no, not yet. And I thought, well, thank God for their honesty, because if I'm spending all this time working with somebody who isn't ready, I'm missing the opportunity to work with somebody who is ready. So, you know, because it talks about you only can harm somebody if you're doing for them what they need to do for themselves, you know, and you know, when helping someone else hurts you. And I think that I've definitely experienced that at times, you know, and so it's such a blessing. It's such a great energy with somebody when they're ready and you're able to just carry the message and not carry the person, you know, just carry the message to them. God bless everybody with a very abstinent, blessed day, and thanks so much for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Robin P. Barbara E., please share with us.
Good morning, everyone. It is Barbara E. in New Jersey. Can I be heard?
Barbara, I can't hear you. Can you press star 1 again?
Can you hear me?
Oh, now I can. Thank you.
Oh, good. I had muted myself. Well, I love what that last person said, because for me, first of all, I've never had the experience of a person with a food disorder, whether it be anorexia, bulimia, or compulsive overeating, asked to be in my home to safeguard himself. I have had people in my home, many people, as they flew in on the way to the convention, but that's a totally different thing. And if I were to even consider taking someone who felt they were in dire need of being safeguarded, I am not in this program to be your jailer, your guard, or your warden. I can put my hand in yours, and together we can work the program. But they have to be ready to work the program. It's not me, and I can't carpet the world, and I don't have that pixie dust that is always talked about. I can't get anyone to recover. And in this world that we're living in today, in 2020, it is such a gratitude to have all these face-to-face meetings suddenly become cell phone meetings so that I can never be alone, because I love the fact that we are all together now reaching out our hands for power and strength greater than ours. Because this, before OA, would have been the perfect storm. I would have gone to the supermarket, not worrying about the virus, getting Rice Krispies and marshmallows and brownies and chips and every other combustible, toxic food item for myself. I did go out, but I filled my case with fruit and yogurt and all the things that are on my program, and I filled my head with program in my heart, because my head is a very dangerous neighborhood. I need you, my brothers and sisters, so that I can continue and weather this storm that we're living in and take care of the community around me, my husband, my son, my granddaughter, the elderly lady who lives next to me. I can do these services in the community, but mostly, at least here, we're all self-isolating, and this is a beautiful way to open up my head and my heart. Thank you all. Be safe. I pass.
Thank you so much, Barbara E. Okay, I'm going to take some more names of people who would like to share.
Bruce E.
Charles H.
Darian K.
Julius.
Wait a second. Darian K.
Julie B.
Kathy
G. Roz G. And Roz G, but I didn't hear a couple others.
Kathy Jo P.
And I think there was one other.
Hi, this is Ronnie B.
Ronnie B. Okay. I think that may be all we have time for. Thank you all. So I have Bruce E., Charles H., Darian K., Julie E. B., Roz G., Kathy Jo P., and Ronnie B. I'm hoping we'll get to hear all of you. Bruce E., please go ahead.
Well, thank you. Bruce E., I'm recovering in Southwest Florida. And it says here, it is not good for him, and it sometimes creates serious complications. So before I got into Vision, a guy asked me to sponsor him, and he's a friend of mine from a long time back. Seemed to be having a lot of food problems, and we talked every week for about an hour, and during that 1 or 2 year period, this is before Vision, so we didn't read from the big book. I didn't know about this, how this worked, and we were both dieting with our own support, with each other's support. And every week he'd report in when we talked how much weight he had gained or lost and what he had been eating that week. And I wasn't doing a whole lot better than he was doing. So, and that never, we weren't reading a big book, and that never worked. So finally we, I don't know, parted company somehow. So then I got into vision. I started noticing that it's done differently here, that we really hold each other accountable, that we stay with a food plan. We read from the big book every day during our sponsorship time and maybe after that too. And it's different. And this program works. This one here that I've noticed now, that I'm working now, is working. It's different from that one that I tried before. So then I got a guy that was asked me to sponsor him about a month ago maybe. And so I laid out the spiritual tools before his feet there, and he said, yeah, that sounds good. And next thing I know, I'm not getting any phone calls from him. He's supposed to call me every day or text me. Actually, I think he was supposed to call me every day and text me every day. And I didn't get any calls from him. And I'm thinking, well, you know, he's not going to do it. And then I started getting texts from him saying that he was working his program and stuff. But he was still lacking some of the stuff he was supposed to be doing. And I never said anything. But I figured I'd see him at a face-to-face meeting. Now, for a while here, I can't get out to face-to-face meetings. I had some surgery about 10 days ago. Anyway, when I see him at a face-to-face meeting, I need to tell him, hey, I can't sponsor you because you didn't do the work, you know. And why would I not want to tell him that? I don't want to tell him that because I don't want him to tell me to reject me. I don't want him to tell me, I go forget it. You know, I wish I hadn't kind of seen your face before, you know. So I have to be mature. I have to be a man about this. And I have to just tell him, you know, I can't sponsor you because you didn't do the work. And it's all about doing the work pretty much, isn't it? I mean, that's what we need to do, is do the work. And so this program has helped me a whole lot. It's helped me be a lot more honest about myself and towards other people. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Bruce E. Charles H., please share with us.
Thank you very much. Can you hear me, Kathy K?
I can, yes. Thanks, Charles.
Yeah, I hear that question so much on the first hour. I should start asking that on the second hour. Anyway, Charles H., I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm just so grateful for this paragraph. And yes, I do have my daughter just gave birth, so I'm a young grandfather. I'm grateful. But she snuck her boyfriend in the house over a year ago, and my son beat him up. My grandson beat him up. And I wonder, he's scared to death of me. When I come in the house, he stays in the room. I know that's wrong, but I want to get this up off me because, you know, everybody's talking about what's going on in the world right now. The 10th step is it disinfects my insides, and I need it. And y'all, my friends, and I bet you they're not throwing shade on phone meetings today, because if it wasn't for phone meetings, it would be pretty much over. So I just wanted to share that, you know, I do have an individual living in my house with my wife and my daughter, the two biggest enablers in the world, and I have to have compassion for them. And I do several 10 steps along these lines on a daily basis, because I'm playing a good Samaritan by trying to – I don't do good with enabling. You know, I was at the depths of hell. Ain't nobody enable me. I refuse to help anyone. I seen a lady that I was smoking crack with 14 years ago outside smoking crack, and I gave her a look like, I understand, but shame on you at the same time. So, yeah, your telephone might jangle. I have boundaries. My telephone don't jangle because I turn it off when I'm sleeping. Helping others is the foundation stone of my recovery. I get that. Without being overzealous, without being Superman, without trying to conquer the world, I do what I can on a one-on-one basis, and I don't have a selfie stick showing me helping people up, because that's not how it's designed. That's not how I should be. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Charles, for your share. Dari Ann Kay, please share with us.
Hi there. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Thank you.
Yes. Hi, Kathy. It's Dari Ann Kay from the Berkshires in Massachusetts. Oh, my God. So grateful to be on the line with all of you. Yeah, and just have to stay connected, right, and go with the familiar, and this is my familiar. So so grateful for all of you to be out there for me. And please look up my name. Call me. I'm home all day. so I, you know, I read that and I said, well, I can't really, I don't know what I'm going to say. And then I just started to think about it sort of metaphorically about kind of like people sort of owning space in your head, like sort of home and head kind of, you know, and through the years I've sponsored people that, you know, I'll hang up the phone. I'll say, yeah, I don't know if I can really help this person. Or there's like people were saying about boundaries. There's sort of a boundary being crossed here, and I'm not sure that I can, you know, handle it properly, or that I'm not really equipped to, you know, talk with this person with regard to the things that they're sharing with me. You know, and so, you know, for me, I weigh and measure my food, right? I put on the scale, I've got a number, but to weigh and measure, you know, other things in life, yeah, we just don't have a scale to put it on. So, you know, we have to think about how people affect us, you know, and the boundaries that we have to place for our own well-being, you know, making sure our bucket is full before we can give to others, you know, and so it just, you know, it just made me think about that. And, you know, but I, on the flip side, I love sponsoring people and helping people, you know, and watching them grow and watching them, you know, realize things about themselves through the process and coming through the other side and then being able to use their experience to help others. So, you know, it's very important to obviously help people in any way we can. But, yeah, being an enabler, being, you know, making boundaries that are healthy for us, it's all things to consider. And so, yeah, I'm glad that people shared to help me, you know, conjure up some ways to think about this. And, you know, the bottom line is, you know, I need all of you. And, you know, just so grateful that I have this program in my life and that people were willing to take the time to listen to me, you know, doing, you know, my fourth step and 10 steps and, you know, just giving me the time that I needed so that I could get through to the other side and you know, be at peace and to become my authentic self, which is really what, and I think all of us are working toward. So thank you so much for being there. And I pass.
Thanks so much, Dari Ann Kay. Julie E.B., please share with us.
This is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. So glad to hear so many Coloradans home and sharing and just a sense of community across the country. And I'm out here in God's world. And one of the songs I like, God Rest Me in the Thoughts of Rocks and Trees and Birds and Bees. And I can hear the birds and see the rocks and see the pieces of God's creation that don't change, that don't move. Not a person in sight, not so much noise in the head. On this paragraph, I am taking into my home someone who's acknowledges they're active in our disease. As my family is coming home from different colleges, and I know it's going to be trouble. And I love that the people that wrote this book took the time to say, hey, we seldom do this because this is rough going. It hits the whole family. So I need to be, instead of self-centered, I look up the opposite. I pray that I can think of the needs of others and work for them. Not what I need them to be for me right now, because now today I can turn to my higher power for care and protection, for the provision of what's necessary for my health, welfare, maintenance of my condition and prevention of injury and harm. Even as I go to my work at the hospital each day and watch people who really I have such admiration for. How can I be of service to them? Spend a lot of time on the phone with family members who aren't allowed to visit their family. So we can extend this phone meeting, this phone fellowship, and figure out new ways to reach our neighbors and people we've overlooked in this time. How can I be of service today, God? And that's my prayer. And even as I'm taking some folks in my home that I've found peace with releasing, I pray I continue to release them and lean on God instead of them for my sense of well-being. Thanks for letting me share. And I pass.
Thanks so much, Julie E.B. Roz G., please share with us.
Good morning, everybody. This is Roz G., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in beautiful Palmdale, California this morning. I'm going to take a little different spin on this, where it says, we seldom allow an alcoholic to live in our homes for long at a time. So the opposite of that would be of short at a time. And to me, that means being hospitable. And I have two sponsees that just came over to my house over the past couple of weeks to do, you know, step work. And I'm fortunate to have this, you know, very like kind of real private office area in my home. And I have two Lazy Boy chairs. And I put trays in between with a box of Kleenex, a bottle of water. And it's just us. And I love to be able to do of course, you know, with the phone meetings. We do a lot of our work over the phone, as well as I. But I love having that face-to-face communication. You just, to watch people, the tears flow, and my tears flow, to see smiles, to see, like, light bulb moments happen. You know, just to be hospitable. And to allow people to come into the home. And as with others, mostly, you know, I haven't really had to face having a homeless compulsive overeater desperate from a home come here. In the other program, the relationship program, there are sometimes when ladies need to get out of their homes for a while, or women, you know, I don't mean to say that men can't, but, you know, maybe an abusive situation where they need to spend the night and stay for a while, you know, a few days to get out of a dangerous situation. That's certainly appropriate. But I certainly do love being hospitable and showing my care and generosity that God has given me. Because before program, you know, I wouldn't have given two nickels about anybody else. Just, you know, let me go to a meeting, maybe put a dollar in, get what I need to get, and leave. But today, as I hear Harlan say so much, building my spiritual life through service and self-sacrifice is my way of life today. It has become my way of life. I do have a job. I do need to have an income. I do support people. But for the most part, my life is through giving and self-sacrifice. Altruism and spirituality is the way I live. And it is a joyous way to live. Thank you, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Roz G. Kathy Jo P., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater in Minneapolis. And I, too, have a different spin on this. And I'm thinking about when this book was written, people would go into people's homes and stay with them. And today, the way we do that is we do that on the phone. And I am so grateful, even though I want to be available anytime, anywhere that someone reaches out for the hand of a way to be there, I am so grateful to the people in the program who have modeled for me being of service and balancing that with the relationship ideals that we want in our family. So what I'm saying is, first, when I came in, I was not a morning person. Now I do most of my work with people in the morning when my family's in bed, like right now. My two teenagers are upstairs in bed. And then in the evening, I prioritize my family. I don't bring the alcoholic into my home very often in the evening. And the family, it might just be playing cards, cribbage, watching a silly movie like we did last night, but that's important for me today. Charles H. said he turns his phone off when he sleeps. I do that too, but it's also okay to make room for my family because I don't want to have the serious complications in my family that I had when I came to this meeting 4 years ago and my marriage was falling apart and my children were terrified of me. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Kathy Jo P. And Ronnie B., please share with us.
Thank you. This is Ronnie in Missouri, compulsive overeater. Grateful to be here and hear all the comments. A couple of things that go through my mind on a regular basis about this kind of reading is that I need a balance. And so for me, I also cannot listen to people go on and on about things without sharing a solution. So what I love about this program and some others that I'm in is we actually have some structure and a routine. And we basically go through, you know, the solution in the beginning of the phone call. And then, and only then, if there's time, do we talk about other stuff that could be going on that impacts their lives because there's other people they can talk with. I'm not the end-all, be-all. But the balance of that is, for me, we don't shoot our wounded. You know, that's an expression we have in AA a lot. And that also doesn't mean that I help them get on the battlefield. You know, I can say, here's what's going on, and these are the suggestions I hope you do. And if you can do those, then I believe we can work together. But it's not an all or nothing thing anymore. And I have to be careful, very careful, to remember where I came from and how many people I have in my life today who really help me. You know, I know my sponsor doesn't enable me, you know, that we have structure, we have support, but she can also listen and she has a kind heart and she has compassion, you know, and compassion is something that has to be learned from me over and over because I am so codependent during my life, you know. I didn't know what the balance was, and I really think I'm getting there to understand it. And the balance for me is, these are the things that work for me. They may not be for you, and there will be someone out there you can call that will listen to that. It's just not going to be me because this is all I know that works. You know, I'm in this program over 30 years, and I'm back to 90-plus days, which is a miracle of clean abstinence and working the steps and the focus on 10, 11, and 12, which my sponsor drives home with me all of the time and is available. So this is really a great reading. And, you know, step 11 says one of the first fruits of that step is emotional balance. So I need balance in my life on a regular basis through prayer and meditation. Thank you. And that's all I have.
Thank you so much, Ronnie B. I could take one more person for a minute and a half. Does anybody want to share? Okay.
Lee H.
Oh, who is that?
Lee H. from Tennessee.
Go ahead, Lee. Take a minute and a half.
Okay, I'll try. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Kathy, this has been a great meeting for me as well. I've gotten so many great, great things from this. And I'm asking my higher power for balance. And I know as I stay in this program, I will continue to mature. And I'm struggling right now with just sponsoring and just being a good sponsee. And I have a long way to go, but I don't want to shrink from being a sponsor. And so I'm just really grateful for all the shares this morning and just the idea of boundaries and not shooting the wounded and yet being honest. it's a great program. So thanks so much, everybody. Have a great day.
Thanks so much, Lee. And thanks to everyone who was here today, who shared and listened. What a wonderful gathering. And a special thank you to Lorraine N., Sandy D., Leslie M., Kathy O., and Dawn B., and also to Mary B., who will greet our newcomers, and Robin P., who will give us announcements. And now, before we close, I'd like to ask Kathleen O. to read a vision for you on page 164 in the Big Book.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.